Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. That's what we'll be dealing with today. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Although we are going to go back to the Old Testament, we have the subject of leprosy before us today. The title of this message is His Touch. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for how amazing and powerful the Lord Jesus Christ is and how he demonstrated that in this particular event while he was here on earth. Help us to understand something significant about the Lord Jesus Christ and our response to him as we study this lesson today. I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were able to accomplish something very significant, which would you want to be the response of people? Would you like to become famous and popular because of it? Or would you rather be content if people understood the significance of what you had accomplished? This is the sort of dilemma that Jesus dealt with in the event that we have before us in this passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Jesus did not want to be popular. Well, it wasn't that he didn't want people to know him, but he wanted to make an impact that was much deeper than just popularity. We can't imagine how frustrating it must have been for Jesus because of how few people understood what he was attempting to accomplish. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "It came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Jesus is approached by a man that is full of leprosy. What did he see as that man was approaching him? Well, let's go back to Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 45. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 45. It says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent or torn." This is the kind of thing the person would do when he was mourning the death of a loved one. This is what Jacob did over in Genesis chapter 37, 34. Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. But the leper was to wear these torn clothes continually, and with wear they would eventually become frayed and ragged. The verse continues, "His head is to be bare, not shaved." It just means he's not allowed to cover his head, wear a hat or a turban or hood or anything of that nature. His hair would become disheveled and perhaps a little longish, not being able to groom himself as a normal person would. The verse then says, "And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip." And so the lower part of his face is to be covered up above his upper lip. "And he shall cry, unclean, unclean." This was required. When anyone approached him, or he approached another person, he must cry out, "unclean, unclean," and then everyone would know this was a leper. Overall, it was a pitiful sight. A man who was ashamed to be in public because of his physical condition, in torn and tattered clothes, disheveled hair, and his face half covered, crying out, "Unclean, unclean," in muffled tones because his mouth is covered up. And this is what Jesus saw as the man approached him. What did the Jews generally see when they looked upon a leper? Here in Leviticus chapter 13, back up to verse 9. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 10. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. The key was open raw flesh. If there was no open raw flesh, even if the skin were white and had turned the hair white at that spot, the person would not be unclean. He would remain clean. In other words, at that point of the disease, he was not contagious. But once raw flesh appeared, he was unclean because he was contagious. Now that's according to the biblical law. But it's interesting that in the historical rabbinical writings, they contradicted the Bible. So let's, for a moment, just step outside of Scripture and see what the Jews were like regarding leprosy. In the rabbi's writings, there were many remedies for diseases, but no remedy for leprosy. As far as the Jews were concerned, there was no medical means to cure leprosy. And concerning the contagious nature of leprosy, the rabbis are rather inconsistent in their writings. While the law certainly expressed concern about the contagious nature of leprosy, so much so that the person who was a leper was to be isolated from other people. As it says in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46, he shall dwell alone without the camp, shall be his habitation. But the rabbis said that if you're a heathen and you have leprosy, no restrictions. If you are a Gentile and you are in the process of proselyting to Judaism, but you have not yet taken the full conversion, no restrictions. Odd. So if you're a Gentile and a heathen and you have leprosy, you're free to mingle in the public. In addition, the rabbis declared that the isolation of a Jewish leper could not begin during the week of his marriage. Nor could it begin if any one of the feast of Israel was taking place. Both of which are situations in which you would find yourself mingling with a lot of people in public. Doesn't make sense. But the rabbis, apart from Scripture, understand we've stepped outside of Scripture at this point. The rabbis took a different view of leprosy than a normal disease in their minds. It was a moral problem and not a physical one. They said, no death without sin, no pain without transgression. The sick is not healed until all his sins are forgiven. So the rabbis made a direct link between a man's health and his moral condition, and in particular, in relationship to leprosy. If you are a leper, you must be a terrible sinner, and you will never be healed until you repent. Conversely, they would consider themselves not to be sinners because they were healthy. That's rather arrogant, isn't it? The idea prevailed all the way to the time of Christ regarding this link between illness or physical infirmity and sin. Would you go over to John chapter 9? The rabbis of ancient times had so convinced the nation of Israel of this link between physical illness and sin that even the disciples had this idea. And we go to John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Somebody had to sin in order for this man to be blind. Now, granted, if Adam and Eve had never sinned, and no one else of their descendants had ever sinned, we would be living in an infirmity-free world. But Jesus says it is not necessarily true that a specific infirmity is linked to a specific sin. For he says in verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. There's no specific link to this man's blindness and sin. But because the Jews viewed leprosy not only as a disease, but as a moral problem. For them, there was no medical cure for leprosy. And so there developed this principle. Only God could cleanse a leper, because only God could forgive sins. Now, hang on to that. Only God can cleanse a leper, because only God could forgive sins. So let's go back to Luke chapter 5, and go to verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here is a man who is unloved, unwelcomed, banished, and isolated, exiled from society, a living dead person as far as everyone was concerned, who was considered by all to be a sinner who needed to repent. And he says to Jesus, I believe you can heal me if you will. What is he saying to Jesus? Let's talk about this matter of being clean and unclean. There was an emphasis in the Old Testament on the difference between being clean and unclean. It was the responsibility of the priest to make sure that everybody understood this. Would you go to Leviticus chapter 10? Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 8. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Now, in this instance, the drinking of alcoholic beverages is connected to uncleanness. To me, this is the definitive statement on whether or not a believer today should or should not drink alcohol. If in the Old Testament the priests were not supposed to have alcoholic beverage in their bodies when they went into the tabernacle or the temple, who are the priests today? We are. And where's the temple of God? Our bodies. Now, that's just an aside, not related to leprosy. But for the leper, so there was this concept that the priests were to teach among the people the difference between clean and unclean. But for the leper, what was the purpose for them to cry out, unclean, unclean? Was it to invoke repulsion so as to move one to reject him? Or was it to invoke sympathy and compassion so as to compel one to pray for him? I think the matter of the leper crying out, unclean, unclean, was a separate issue from what we read about in Leviticus chapter 10 and the cleanliness of holiness and the uncleanliness of unrighteousness in a person's life. But the rabbis took it to be the same. And they took the harsh stance regarding how we were to treat lepers. They required, this is going to sound familiar, a 6-foot rule. Anybody ever hear of such a thing? A leper was to remain 6 feet between himself and any clean person. Wow, that's been around for a long time, hasn't it? Well, I'm really glad that our present day politicians didn't know about this next one. Because if the wind was blowing, and it was blowing from the leper towards another person, the leper had to stay 100 feet away. Now, that's not in the Bible. That's the rabbis. Some of the rabbis said that you should not purchase an egg in a street where a leper happened to be. Some of the rabbis threw stones at lepers to keep them away. Some of the rabbis hid themselves when they saw a leper coming, and some of the rabbis simply ran away. But go to Luke chapter 5 and verse 13 and see the contrast between all of that of which Jesus would have been entirely aware and what he did. Luke chapter 5 and verse 13, and he put forth his hand and did what? He touched the leper? Why wasn't he afraid to touch the leper? And he said, I will. The leper said, I believe you can, if you will. Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. So in verse 14, Jesus said to him, he charged the man to tell no man. Don't tell anyone. I don't want you to tell anyone. I'm not interested in you going around broadcasting about what I've done. What I want you to do in verse 14 is to go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them, the priests. So if the man goes to the priest, who had obviously been to the priest before to be declared unclean, and now he comes to the same priest and shows himself, and he's obviously clean, the priest is going to want to know what happened, right? And the man is going to say, Jesus healed me. And since the priest believed that only God could heal a leper, what would the priest have to believe? That Jesus is God. That's why he wanted the man to go to the priest. Jesus' fame made him popular among many people. And many of those people that flocked to him were merely interested in what he could give them. In verse 15 here it says, but so much more there went fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. It seemed as though the more Jesus charged people not to tell, the more they published it. Mark chapter 7 and verse 36 says, and he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much more, a great deal, they published it. And the more they published it, the larger the crowds became. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, in those days the multitude was very great. And many of them came, not out of faith, but for the benefits. Look over in John chapter 6 and verse 26. After Jesus had fed the multitude, he left that area, went across the Sea of Galilee, got off at a place. People who had been at the feeding of the 5,000 followed around the shore of the Sea of Galilee and caught up with Jesus. And Jesus says this to them in John chapter 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Jesus knew their hearts. They were part of the crowd that had been benefited from a miracle. 5 loaves of bread, 2 small fish. He feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. And many of them didn't care where the food came from. You didn't come because of the miracle. Miracle meant nothing to them. You came because of the food. So Jesus instructed them here that they should look beyond their selfish interest of surviving this life and seek eternal life through him. John chapter 6, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Jesus did not simply want to be popular. He did not want to generate a feeding frenzy in which the masses did not appreciate the source. All they cared about was the gratification of the benefits. What was it that Jesus wanted to accomplish by touching the leper? Think of that. Everyone else had to stay 6 feet away. Or if downwind, 100 feet away. Don't buy an egg if you're close to a leper. I don't know what effect that would have, but throw stones at him. Hide yourself. Run away. No. Jesus had one thing in mind in touching the leper and healing him. It wasn't just that he wanted people to know him. It was that he wanted them to know who he was. There's a difference. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 13, "And thou shalt know that I am the Lord." Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23, "And thou shalt know that I am the Lord." And then there's the book of Ezekiel. You can go over there, Ezekiel chapter 6. And verse 7, Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse 7, "And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Verse 10, "And they shall know that I am the Lord." Verse 13, "Then shall ye know that I am the Lord." Verse 14, "So will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Dimlath in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord." At least 59 times in the book of Ezekiel alone, he makes that statement, "You shall know that I am the Lord." Thus, when Jesus sent the clean leper, the man cleansed of leprosy, to the priest would declare that God hath made him clean. And the man would say, "You're right. Jesus, who is God, made me clean." In Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus had to do that once in a while. You have to wonder what effect the multitudes had on Jesus, especially when he was detecting that they didn't really come to him because they understood who he was, but only for what he could do for them. So why do we come to Jesus? Why do you come to Jesus? Do we come just for the benefits? Do we say to Jesus, "Give me eternal life, but don't be Lord of my life and tell me how to live now"? Do we say, "Give me all the blessings, but don't make me live a life that glorifies you"? Do we say, "Give me what I ask for, but don't ask anything of me"? Is your faith in Jesus only about what he can do for you? Or do you really understand who he is? ask yourself this question. Why was Jesus able to touch the leper and be completely unaffected by the leprosy? But instead, the leprosy was affected by him. Why was that? When Jesus touched the leper, he showed exactly who he was. It's the Lord God. And when Jesus touches your life and forgives your sins and gives you eternal life, it is not because he feels sorry for you. It is because he wants you to know who he is. Someday you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. Do you think it's going to be a casual meeting and you walk up to him, oh, hi, Jesus, and thanks for all the stuff you gave me? No. You'll be compelled to bow the knee and declare with Simon Peter, declare with the doubting Thomas, my Lord and my God. Everything Jesus has done for you is not about you. It's about him. He wants you to know who he is. He wants you to know that he is God. And someday we will all come into his presence, tangibly into his presence, and bow the knee and declare, my Lord and my God. But why wait till then? Bow your hearts before him now. See him as more than someone who can provide you with benefits. See him as he is the Lord of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads, we close our eyes. We bow our hearts in honor of who you are. And in honor of who our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is. May we all have this contrite humility before our Lord and understand that Jesus Christ is the head of the church and the Lord of our lives. May we all have a desire to be in the Word and not move to thoughts and ideas that are outside of the Word. May we all have obedient hearts and lives that are holy and reflect you to the world. May the world not see us, though we be cleaned and cleansed from our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. May the world see that it was Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who made us what we are. give us this respect for our Savior. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.